Welcome to The Ether. Today is Saturday, December 10th, 2022. Today on The Ether, a discussion on open versus closed source code, hosted by Jacob Gedickian. Let's take a listen.
So don't worry, there's some talking coming here. But I don't like to prattle to empty air. There's it's weird. People are like, oh yeah, you can make a secure closed source blockchain. It's insane, I think. Reason being that, you make a blockchain, to verify things. I don't know. That's why all this stuff actually works, is that you can check the code. If you can't check the code, you just end up in an endless trust argument. Hey, trust me, I'll take your atoms as collateral. Don't worry. It's amusing, really. Well, no, it's not amusing, though. It's sad. We have a blockchain in Cosmos now called Kujira. It has a fully collateralized stable coin. I found unlimited mint in it. It means like you can mint as many of these USK as you want, but only if you're the dev team, mind you. And that's lower than a joke, right? Like, very bad. It has a whole bunch of closed source contracts. If you want secure code, it needs to be open source. Otherwise, you can't verify it. I don't know. That's like my entire thought. Now, if anybody wants to come up and argue, I would like where we have more closed source contracts, that's all right. You can do that. But it doesn't make any sense. It's not even remotely reasonable. There's a great deal of historical context here. You have, 13 years now of Bitcoin, open source. And that's what allows people to know that Bitcoin works and doesn't screw you over. Otherwise, you're just sitting on a ticking time bomb. You're waiting until somebody looks at that code that you can't read, you're waiting for any exploit. You may not be able to read it, but I was able to find an exploit yesterday in that over collateralized stablecoin contract. Allows you just mint as many as you'd like, and you know what, that thing is closed source, so users can't even check it. I don't know, it just seems like probably the least transparent and accountable thing that a a community claiming to develop decentralized finance could possibly do is not release their code, or, you know, worse still, to claim to be addressing issues, but since the code is closed, well, we don't know. Now, audience, I can't say for certain that it was implemented in that way maliciously, but I can tell you it looks malicious. I can tell you it looked like a nice, efficient setup to basically rug, you know, the entire like the whole value of the so-called USK stablecoin. I have no idea why people would not simply just open source it, because that is vastly safer. Well, actually, I do have an idea why, but it's sketchy, right? The idea why is, well, they might not open source it because they want to do something sketchy with it. And I am not into how do I put this? Why should the users need to trust the contract authors when the contract authors could just release their code? It seems fundamentally broken. And I mean, sure, they have the right to not release it, but at the same time, you know, the user community and counterparty chains have the absolute right to discuss the fact that it's highly irresponsible not to release it. And no, it's not something that one should simply get over. There is no way to prove that the fixes that the Kujira team says they are implementing actually fix the problem. And this just gets us into muddier and muddier waters. The idea, I thought, with cryptocurrency was that we were going to build transparent and accountable systems that would prevent fraud by their mechanism of operation. And, you know, the findings on Kujira recently, I mean, I can't say that they're fraud. I mean, but it was a hell of a sketchy bug that allowed only certain privileged accounts to mint unlimited so-called, you know, USK stablecoin tokens. And it's supposed to be an over-collateralized, meaning that, like, there's more collateral than there is stablecoin value, stablecoin. Now, why would there even be a way to mint without putting in collateral? Please let this sink through your mind for a second. They claim it's over-collateralized, has a fixed supply, da-da-da, lots of other stuff. But it's possible to mint it without putting in any collateral if and only if you're on the development team. Well, sorry. If and only if you have been approved to mint. And, you know, we would assume that's by the developer. Oh, and by the way, the validator set made this possible by approving the contract to run, but they couldn't read it. Well, that doesn't make any sense to me. So, you know, you can certainly you can use closed source work, you know, and you can. Sure, you can obfuscate the facts with it. You can use that to hide whatever you'd like to. It doesn't need to do what you say it does, and nobody can check it. No one can confirm it. And I'm concerned that there's a growing segment in the Cosmos user community who actually believes that it's acceptable to have closed source code in decentralized finance, even after it was discovered that these closed source contracts on Kujira specifically allowed unlimited minting of this USK. Now, let's talk about property rights for a second, because that matters, okay? Property rights are really important. And okay, actually, let's see. Add as speaker, we're bringing up better future here. And it says you can speak. Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, I can hear you. Good morning. I guess it's afternoon.
Good morning.
In Vietnam.
Yeah, evening here.
Yeah, all the work you're doing to try to help encourage us towards open source, I think is really key. So thank you. Keep that up.
Oh, certainly. I was actually just about to get into the part where like closed source is totally acceptable and that authorial rights matter lots. You know, but the thing is, I don't think that closed source can be functional in decentralized finance, especially with practices like admin keys and stuff. But it, you know, like for a truly private chain that isn't interacting with the rest of Cosmos, there's no need to verify it and go for it, right? You know?
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if people want to have a hippie commune, you know, they have their rights to have their own values in their own environment. I guess with the Cosmos, though, what makes me nervous is it's an interconnected, decentralized kind of mesh, and it's supposed to be permissionless. So any node that's kind of connected to, well, any chain that has assets that can be transferred across and used on other chains in a permissionless interconnected mesh. Yeah, if you have a problem on a closed source chain in one corner, it can quickly become a contagion.
Yeah, that is exactly my concern. And so it's like, it is permissionless and you can do open source, but the thing that I would like to promote here is that basically chains should likely have stated counterparty policies, because it's the situation, like with USK, for example, that could result in something similar to what happened with Terra Luna back in like, you know, May of last year. And that's still fun.
In what way is it similar to Terra Luna? You mean like Luna coming across into Osmosis, and then when Terra Luna went down, it caused a lot of strain on the Osmosis community? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that is exactly what I mean. Also, I mean, this is potentially, well, that happened in like 12 hours. So it was a similar like level of bad. Like with the USK thing, you know, we've demonstrated that it is possible, you know, it was possible for the Kujira team members to mint on demand. And I mean, certainly I'm not going to be accepting any, they've said several times that they have addressed this, but there's no way to confirm that. It's literally impossible.
Well, what do you mean by mint on demand?
Oh, I see. Okay. I don't know if you've seen the video, but like I will talk you through what is possible and how I demonstrated it without the source code. So contracts are uploaded to CosmWasm chains in binary form. And Kujira is a permissioned CosmWasm chain. So like before the contract begins to run, you have to approve it with governance. So what I did to simulate like the exact chain of events and environment for this contract is downloaded the Wasm bytecode from the Kujira mainnet. So like the exact byte for byte contract. After downloading the bytecode from the Kujira mainnet, ran the exact same governance proposal with the exact same text and voted yes. And then I had the ability to print this supposedly over-collateralized, supposedly limited supply stablecoin on demand after doing the other thing that I needed to do. Was assign myself as a permitted account. Now, if we look on the Kujira mainnet today, there are five permitted accounts. So, five addresses, I don't know who, have the ability to mint limitless USK. They claim that they're fixing this, but unless they were to clear out the permitted accounts, I mean, that doesn't seem like much of a fix to me. And then, really the way to solve that in the long run is quite simply to make the code open.
So it sounds like there's two different problems. One is the closed source code, and we don't have visibility into who can mint unlimited USK. So it's kind of like a Fed policy where people at the Fed can run the printer when they want to. And then two, if there is an issue where Kujira or USK goes down, it's a bomb that goes off if those assets are on Osmosis or other chains in the ecosystem, that can be contagion. Is that a correct summary?
Yeah, imagine a situation like this. The contagion that I'm most concerned with isn't really like a chain halt or a loss in value. So their stablecoin. Oh, but by the way, I forgot one other thing. USK is over-collateralized, and they there's the USK controller contract. That's the one I was interacting with, but I believe that the collateral is kept in a contract somewhere. And like given what we have found in the USK controller contract, the collateral, which this chain, frankly, the design is very good in the sense that they're only collateralizing with external assets. So, for example, atoms, or I think it, for right now, it's just limited to atoms. Okay. So you can collateralize USK only with atoms. So there's this big bag of atoms sitting in
I
a
thought I
closed source
saw
contract.
I thought I saw polka dot dot in there as well recently as well.
Oh, that's a very good point. There is dot in there, and I suppose that is also controlled by a closed source contract.
Yeah, I and kind of in the public role I'm playing here as part of a conversation about risks in the ecosystem, to be balanced, I should also say I think the Kujira team is doing a fabulous job in pushing, the frontier of the tech. There's so many aspects of the project that I absolutely love. But yeah, some of these details around the interconnected nature of the ecosystem to make it sustainable for all of us for the medium and long run. I think we do have to have this discussion. So thank you, Jacob, for standing up as the one guy to raise these points.
Sure thing. I mean, that is mildly confusing to me. It looks like this gentleman, Alex here, would like to speak. So I just clicked on the speaking button. But the thing that's kind of confusing to me is why there are so few people speaking out on it. But I think that actually could be, like, I've been threatened over this. And the plain reality is I demonstrated the findings very clearly. There's no doubt that the Kujira team has the ability to mint unlimited USK. And Alex, what's up?
Hey, man. I just have a broader question for you. I haven't followed every single twist and turn of the debate, but from what I've seen, I totally support your side of the argument and just like enforcing or, you know, taking the position that the system needs to enforce a certain standard of just open sourceness, or it's a security risk for every counterparty of that protocol. But I guess I do have a separate from like Kujira and their permissions of like several individuals or one individual or whatever to mint unlimited, which like I can't understand why they would have a need for that. But I guess my question is in DeFi more broadly, like if you're building something that's somewhat ambitious and complex, I guess in my mind as a very kind of untechnical, more like product oriented person, there's an incentive, there's a game theory problem when that basically argues for you to have some level of closed sourceness for some period of time, because it's basically if you're building like a new algorithmic stablecoin, for example, and it uses some new mechanism or set of mechanisms that's fairly novel, for a really talented developer attacker, like maybe like an Abraham, who attacked the mango markets guy, I think Abraham Eisenberg, I think is his name.
I don't know. Although when I think about talented attackers, I'm often thinking about the North Korean state, actually. But please continue.
Whoever it is, like, they have a much better payoff structure from doing like a hit and run on a flawed system than from constructively engaging with the creators to help to point out and fix the problem. So do you see any any place for basically broadening your beta, you know, broadening a beta testing pool to basically become totally open source to the public over a defined time period? Or is your position that it's unconditionally, it needs to be open source from day zero? How do you?
I think it's basically as soon as it begins to handle user funds, that's where I would draw the line. I don't know if you'd call that day zero, because some projects that they'll like go open before launch, right? I don't think that's actually necessary. Now, I think what you're actually talking about is sort of like a pen test scenario where you're not open because then the code is readable and you can be attacked. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm not. I didn't have like a super specific scenario in mind, other than that if you were designing a new DeFi mechanism that was pretty novel and pretty untested, I would think you would probably want some intermediate steps between day zero and fully public in terms of like who you trust with. I mean, you wouldn't want that to be like a long period of time, or else there's serious like viability concerns about what you're doing. But I don't know. It's just, I mean, you know.
No, it's really valid, and it's also difficult to answer. So, like, I don't trust testnets.
Mm-hmm. Maybe to piggyback on Alex's idea, which is a terrific idea. And to make it something more tangible to react to, what if as a straw man, it, you know, was a defined 3 months or 4 months or 6 months, so some defined time. And while it's closed, the validator community is given kind of access to audit. So at least there's some kind of audit. I mean, it's hard as a validator in your business, Jacob, to kind of run and defend a chain if you're not able to, you know what you're running and know what, like you're kind of implicitly endorsing it, right? You're kind of invited in to like support the you know what's going on, and if you're in the room when, you know, theft happens and you are kind of endorsing it, like you're kind of culpable in this implicit sort of a way. So I understand why you stand up and say, well, I can't audit this. But what if there was like a 3 month or 4 month defined time, and you know as a validator at least were given access, and there could be this community of maybe 30 or 40 or 50 validators, and beyond that it's kind of closed source. While the validators get comfortable with it before we kind of open it up to the world at large.
So that's way better, and it's one of the solutions that I suggested to Kujira. It's been rejected for whatever reason, but you know, if the validators could read the contracts, that gets you somewhere, okay? And it's also, it is why Notional is running Injective. We validate Injective because they actually came to us and asked if we'd like to validate. I initially, internally, said no. And the reason was the source code. And the outcome of this, though, was that, you know, while I had said no, you know, I also said, well, I mean, could you let us check it? Because we have a defined set of practices for going through a chain's code before we begin signing. They agreed. They're wonderful to work with, and they went through a clearly defined timeline for open sourcing. So if they ticked every box, and I would say to you that works. It isn't ideal. The thing that
So that's a question. I mean, so basically your answer is that yeah, if there's a 3 or 4 month kind of defined time frame, and validators, you know, as a validator community, at least can you know have access to the code and be comfortable as validators that they're not endorsing or supporting something that could go off like an atomic bomb, that might be a good halfway step, and prevent the kind of risks that Alex was describing, which are kind of prematurely releasing something that's totally open to the world, and you know you have these one-off hit and run attacks, which is also a very valid concern. So maybe through this community conversation, we can come to a better and more optimal model of releasing these things. Because I think both sets of concerns are real, and maybe we have to meet in the middle to find the compromise. How about on the issue of not the open source issue, but the issue of contagion and counterparty risk. Any thoughts on what we can do there to limit or kind of optimize the interconnected mesh that is the Cosmos with all these individual projects and then assets going across different chains in this DeFi world that we're building?
Yeah, absolutely. So you want to build something good, you want to give it a strong foundation. Well, my opinion, I think we really need constitutions that lay out like what a chain expects. Even there's not a lot of clarity on like what a validator should do. Danku was here, and Danku earlier today said, well, you know, like some validators can't check the chain code. And, you know, while I'm aware that that's absolutely true, I feel like ensuring security is very important. So the next piece on top of the Constitution, or if it's a brand new chain, this could go even in the Constitution, I think is stating what an acceptable counterparty is. When I look at the playing field, so Alex, you mentioned that one scenario, and I want to say that scenario only applies on a contract platform, like for example Juno or Ethereum, and in general I think I'd like to see it avoided. The reason for that is that for most contract platforms and most contracts, keep in mind there are exceptions, once it's up and it's live. And if somebody wants to, or millions of people want to do, you know, something with $10 or one, you know, very large account wants to do something with $1 billion, you can't actually stop that. So that initial closed source period could end up being harmful. Another thing that I want to mention is that...
I didn't understand the example. Could you?
Sure. So yeah. there's no limitation on the amount of value that you can put through a contract. I mean, there are ways of limiting it, but basically, once one of these things is live, it's live, and you don't really know what's going to happen. So, you know, I just always assume that users will just stumble into the thing and do like the most bizarre stuff you can imagine. And that's basically why I think that, Alex, probably the answer to your concern is like really rigorous testing, unless the contract is something that, and this is not every case, but like there are a few cases where you can strictly limit, you know, the amount of value flowing through a contract, but that is not most contracts. And those limitations are in many cases just as much code as the contract itself.
Yeah. I mean, and that also creates like sort of, you know, unforecastable alterations to like the real world. It's not a valid test if you're putting in, like an arbitrary non-scalable limit. I guess I go back to what you had said a few minutes ago, where, you know, I don't believe in test nets either, just based on like, in my case, quite limited experience. And so I agree with that. And so then, you know, just as long as there's some kind of middle ground that's, you know, a lot more real than test net, but also, not completely open to the average user is probably very helpful for a developer in the later stages. But I don't know. It was just an open question. But anyway, I think you answered it pretty well, and thank you. I'll jump back to the audience.
All right. Well, you're very welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming up.
Piggybacking on Alex's question, I mean, he kind of raises a good point, you know, the test nets that we've seen in the Polkadot ecosystem, every kind of major chain having its test net, I don't think anyone really likes that model. But once, let's say we go to a model of, you know, a chain launches as closed source as 3 or 4 months of a defined period that validators can audit, make sure that everything's, all the housekeeping is in good order, it's in good hygiene before it kind of opens up open source and opens up to the potential of hit and run attacks from any smart kind of guy or North Korean, you know, attack arm in the world. But yeah, we continue to update these projects. We continue to launch new contracts. We continue to, you know, evolve. So once it's fully open source, maybe we've solved the launch phase potential of a hit and run attack by staying closed source for this limited period. But we're still going to have kind of an ongoing continued problem of potential for one-off hit and run attacks. So curious, Jacob, if you can think of a way to find a solution to the ongoing problem. I wonder what the Kajira team would say about that. I don't know if anyone from the Kajira team is on the spaces and would be open to discussing that that question. I think these are all profound questions that we have to figure out as an ecosystem if we're going to build a sustainable, you know, kick-ass future.
Yeah, I invited them. But unfortunately, I think they just sort of see me as an adversary at this point, which, I'm not. I actually, I share your opinion on the product. I've said this a bunch. I don't think it's really settling in with anybody. And then for me, just as a validator on Kujira's counterparty chains, including the hub, which, you know, would supply the collateral for USK, I won't be comfortable with it until it's open. And on this like limited test period, I mean, I would feel far better if, for example, the Kujira validators were not being asked to vote blindly, but that's what's been occurring. Kujira proposal 35 approved the use of this contract that, you know, among other things, allowed the team to mint an unlimited amount of USK. They just voted yes. I would say that in the current state, that's a problem. And I would also... another thing I'm concerned about, because I don't think that we get another shot at this, by the way. I think like we can get this question right once or we will constantly be fixing this problem over and over for, well, I figure Cosmos is going to be going on for 100 years more, hopefully. Hopefully Cosmos does its Cosmos thing longer than I live. And my point is that it is easier to develop closed products. There is not the ability for rigorous third-party review. And so, I mean, another thing that I want to go into, definitely the reason I was so concerned is that the narrative being distributed in the community by the Kujira team is like, well, you know, there are some security advantages to closed source code. And I think that in many domains, that is actually true. But not this one. And the reason that's not true in this domain is that, well, first of all, closed source code is by its very nature centralized, and we're trying to build decentralized permissionless finance. But the next bit of it is that, you know, we're trying to put everybody on a level playing field. And if everybody does not have access to the code, the risk and temptation that those who do will face is, of course, very large. So that change in the power structure, I think, is massive. So what I'm hoping to achieve by, you know, writing as I'm writing and tweeting as I'm tweeting and speaking as I'm speaking is to share with the community that when you have closed software and you're making claims about it, those claims become totally unverifiable. And closed software is by default centralized. In Cosmos, we spent, what is it? I'd say, 8 years now, maybe a little more, building out systems that are really rigorous about proof. You know, the two chains that are talking to each other, they routinely prove their state to each other. Trusted setups don't really work. And I've also seen, you know, Kujira validators and Kujira team members, well, we trust each other, so like we can do this. This is true, okay? And they can. And I really like your hippie commune example. But we should not be asking people to trust us as developers or validators. Because it sort of defeats the purpose. Hey, Danku, how you doing?
Hey, gentlemen. Thank you for bringing me up here. I'm doing fine. And cool to see this happening. Jacob, I mean, you mentioned it. We had a talk earlier today, and I thought, if interested, that I also share a bit our view, or my view now specifically as a validator, but please keep on first.
Oh, no, I think this is a great juncture for you to share that view. I was basically more or less finished, just sort of wanted to put the context on the changes in structure that occur when not everybody can understand the code. And maybe people in the audience are thinking, hey, I'm not a developer. I don't know what it means. But I suppose that what I'll say is that, guys, some of these pieces of code are very, very clear. And even without being able to write the code, you can easily read it. In fact, that is a sign of good code. Good code tends to be easily readable by humans. And with that, Danko, I'll let you have the floor. Thank you.
Yeah, no, all good. And I'm a little bit short on time, but there's just one or two pieces I wanted to actively share. As I said, number one, I was able to talk to you, Jacob, this morning, which I think was very cool, just to go into an exchange mode and listen to your pieces, your thoughts about all of this, because I think what people can generally not have a doubt that you're an important player in the space and you're contributing with Notional, which I think has a lot of upsides. One thing that, and I shared this with you as just a general feedback, but this not goes only to you, to also the whole space, but I think that's what partly crypto is about, maybe also Twitter is about, that I personally think that a lot of the pieces that are right now going wrong is just a communication topic. And I think all of us need to maybe take sometimes a step back and say like, okay, how does this is received on the other side? What do I want to convey as a message? Because personally, why I joined this space is because I believe in a lot of things that I think you want to also bring forward with this, Jacob. That's why the topic itself resonates with me in terms of it should be open source. We should help each other. It basically creates a true flywheel in terms of if we can use code from somebody else because somebody solved this already, we can save time and then move forward. And that's, I think, a very positive long-term thinking, which I think Web 2 and Web 1 doesn't have, because you as a company always need to start from scratch. And that's kind of this big, beautiful thing in crypto. I think that that can help, this kind of open mindset. That's why a lot of those pieces resonate. As said, on the other side, I think there is a disagreement in terms of how stuff is communicated. And that unfortunately brings a very important topic into just a very difficult corner, or also kind of how to solve this. I can tell you, and I mean everybody else, and I'm always open, available. Everybody can get me on Telegram, Discord, wherever. Always the same name. is that I would encourage everybody to also actively approach validators. They are there to talk. We are also openly there to be approached. We have a Telegram group, and I can also share that, of course, we want to learn. I want to learn. I'm not a coder myself, but this topic itself, while I myself got also annoyed of how the different players react in there, I think that it's good to talk about this. And the other piece is like we should go more into a spoken way of talking. That's why I think it's very cool, Jacob, that you enable this one here. And what I can just quickly take here as to finish it up, because unfortunately I also need to jump in 2 more minutes, is that we are internally discussing this. I think it's good to discuss. I would only encourage everybody to trying to bring it in a way that it's kind of structured, you know, and kind of not always seeing the malicious way, because I was surprised that it always says the Kojira community, the Osmosis community. I think we need to be very careful. There are individuals that are maybe connected, like you, Jacob, to Notional DAO, to maybe Jim, kind of, I think Jimmy is his name, to Osmosis. It doesn't mean that a whole team or a whole community is in a certain way just because certain individuals share their opinions on Twitter. I would just encourage everybody to be careful about this. And from here on out, I hope that more people jump on, ask you questions, Jacob, because you are knowledgeable about the security piece. I shared with you what I think, and I just can encourage everybody to approach me actively as well if they want to kind of get an insight how I think or we think about this as a validator. And I'm just keep on listening for 5 or 4 more minutes, but as said, I unfortunately need to jump. I would love to talk more. Maybe we can repeat this in a future openly.
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, I think it'll go better than talking on Twitter, but I mean, I do want to say, you know, I've been threatened by members of the Kujira community, and the Kujira team does not seem to have a problem with that, as I've discussed it with them.
Yeah, Jacob, you've been pretty direct with your comments publicly, though, as well. I mean, it did get escalated, right?
Well, it's an unlimited mint situation on a stablecoin. I don't think I escalated anything.
Well,
the dev team currently has the capability to take 100% of the value of the assets backing USK. And I don't feel that's escalation. I feel that stating that quite plainly as I did is accurate. And I think that I mean, does anybody have any questions about the accuracy of that? Because I would gladly walk through it. Now we have a request to speak. I just want to hear you. I click the thing.
No, you're making great points, Jacob. You're doing your job as a validator. Thank you, you know, for helping to keep our community clean, safe, and sustainable. Without these kinds of people like yourself playing this validator role seriously, we're never going to amount to anything in the cosmos. And I think, as Danku was saying, the potential of an interconnected mesh where all the different chains have, you know, a different product or service, and together as a larger federation, we achieve greatness. You know, this is the promise of the cosmos. The 1 + 1 + 1 = 9. You know, the 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 = 329. Like, the combinatorial effects of the value of each of the projects. But if we end up getting crosswise and defending our own fiefdoms, and, you know, creating a uncomfortable social environment so that new people coming in feel like we're all yelling at each other, and or, you know, getting to a place where we're so dug in on kind of positions that we can't think about the larger federation and the larger kind of interconnected mesh that we're building. That's one of the problems I struggle with the Cosmos Federation concept, is we don't really have any common value that we all share. We've got Osmosis building its value through its token, and Kujira doing the same, and then other projects doing the same. And so we end up like feudal kind of Europe, where we've all got our castle, and we all kind of get crosswise across the battlefield
the value was the code
for market share. If we can't find some way to align as a broader community, like, I think as human beings, when we get onto a Twitter Spaces and we can have a conversation, like, we really can make progress, as opposed to, you know, Discord and you know, Twitter and you know, things getting kind of escalated. I know Ryan Lyon is on. Ryan, I haven't had a chance to meet you in person. You and I got crosswise maybe 2 years ago or a year ago during the Terra days on, what was it, a pylon proposal. And I was suggesting an auction mechanism might not have been the right one. And you guys, I'm trying to remember the issue. And anyway, I understand how these issues in the public space is something you don't talk in person, as in the case of Ryan and I, you know, leads to, it becomes tough to collaborate. So Ryan, my apologies for the past of maybe me becoming overheated in my public comments. Look forward to collaborating with you, man. And I hope we can all build, you know, a great ecosystem here.
Sir, can I just quickly reflect on this? Because I exactly understand what you mean also in terms of reflecting on how the messages have been conveyed lately. And I asked this question. I think I lost my... There you go. Can you still hear me? I have some connection issues being in the car. Damn it.
I can hear you, bro.
We can hear you
so,
now.
Interestingly, so the piece you mentioned in terms of do we need to all go in a certain direction in the Cosmos space, that would be amazing. That's, I think, why the Terra ecosystem was so successful, because while everybody did their own project, everybody just benefited by minting more UST, because that one achieved more reach, and also minting more UST then in the end, of course, had this positive effect on Luna, which in hindsight was a negative effect. We all know when it then crashed, but I think that was why this ecosystem so quickly got so much traction, and also basically a team environment that everybody was going in the same direction. Is this needed for Cosmos? I don't know. But the difference is you either attack somebody else for doing something, or you just leave them alone and focus on yourself. So that's kind of piece number one. Then what I understand from Jacob, and that's a good feedback, I would do this, or I would agree on this, if there wouldn't be a connection, interconnection between the ecosystem, which is IBC, and then basically now, for example, being Atom used as collateral. So I understood that piece, and I agreed on, due to the connections, there is a problem that basically is then can be escalated. Then my feedback for that would be, so if there is this connection, why don't you basically in the end just work with the teams on the other side and cut off, if they see this risk, the connection to Kujira? I think that's something to pursue. And I think, Jacob, you are in connection with these teams, and that's totally fine on that side. And then the last piece, which basically I understand, and I was thinking of how to achieve this. I think, Jacob, correct me, what you say is that I would like to bring this message to the normal dude, to the one who could be affected by this. And I agree on that it's very difficult if somebody sees a danger to convey that danger message, right, opinionated by himself, to somebody else nowadays. And Twitter is probably a good way to get your message out to everybody. Then the other piece, what you said, better future, I hope that's how I can call you, sir, and let me know, is the question, even if you do that, kind of how do you choose to frame certain things? And my feedback to Jacob this morning was that the initial article, the initial kind of groundwork, I was a fan of, I think good. And then kind of this follow up by maybe him, but also by a lot of other community members from all the communities that are involved, is very questionable. And that leads into a very negative spiral, which I think can only be solved if people call each other and just speak or meet in real life and talk like real humans to each other instead of just being here a picture and talking to each other. And that's like a huge concern, which I think is a typical crypto concern, because we're all just living in this bubble and just online in this metaverse. And we just need, I think, people that step forward and talk to each other. But that's all. So it's difficult, but we just need to improve. Right. And it's all about communication. I think only communication. Let's just stay apart this topic of, is it dangerous that there is a security risk? I think we can all agree on this. But the communication piece is the big, 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 big question mark at the moment.
Gonzi, then Robo, I'd say. So Gonzi had his hand up for a long time. Gonzi, what up?
Yeah, Jacob, so you keep on stressing that this is an unlimited mint on a stable coin. So how is this different from an unlimited mint on a CosmWasm CW20 token? So doesn't the liquidity is what matters instead of it being a stable coin or a non-stable coin?
Well, it's the liquidity that's paired with it. And I mean, the thing is that at this moment, as we speak, the team has the ability to look to you know, rug 100%. And, you know, basically, as Kujira grows, it will get more dangerous because, well, the more TVL, the more assets that are paired with USK, the more danger that there is. I also want to speak to the fact that I have only messed with a single contract, okay? I have only played with the USK controller contract, and there are several more on Kujira. Now, like, please understand right here, I'm not making an accusation, but I am going to tell you guys how this looked, okay? What it looked like was a rug setup, okay? Because there was a system that allowed the contract owner to declare a contract admin, and then from there, the contract admin could permit other addresses to mint unlimited USK. And far as I know, there are five permitted addresses as we speak.
Yeah, okay. So you have made your points clear that basically people are trusting them instead of being trust put on the blockchain, people are trusting the devs directly. But people should have the freedom of choice, right? If they know that they are trusting the team, they should be given the choice to choose that option, right? And if as a blockchain, let's say Osmosis doesn't want them to connect, they should have a governance mechanism wherein they can turn off the IBC channel. So instead of forcing them to like close from their side, it should go through governance if other people don't want to connect to them, right?
So yeah, that's actually why I'm currently concerned with stuff like using the IBC rate limiter on Osmosis and defining like community standards atomically. I began to draft a, what did I call it? Counterparty policy. And basically the first piece of it is open source. Okay. Because open source is what is going to allow for verifiability. And by the way, I considered and I'm still considering, I'm thinking about this, but I can't find a way, to verify closed code. Audits are not good enough. And again, with closed code, you change the power dynamics a great deal. With closed code, you know, it's only those who have access, who are in the special club, who can actually understand what the contract does. And I don't want special clubs. That's really what motivated me into this space. Although actually I should have to say I'm similar to what Better Future mentioned, I'm very okay with private groups of private individuals doing their private thing, including operating chains. But when it becomes a public thing, that's another story. Now, these public communities, right, they can and should define their own standards with governance. And I'm kind of working on a draft proposal currently, and basically the gist of it is, the simplified version is that if a chain passes this governance proposal, then they're saying that all of their counterparties should be open source, and they are tasking their validator set with checking for this.
Yeah, so right now, let's say the Kuji community is doing drugs, right? And you are saying that, okay, we will regulate it so that no one is allowed to do drugs, right? If you don't want them to they should have the freedom of choice to choose whatever they want, right?
Yeah, that's not
what please go.
I agree with your freedom of choice point. Like everyone in their own community should have their own freedom with their own expression of values to set up their community how they would like to do so. But I didn't hear Jacob propose like a central regulator to kind of preside over. I think he proposed, you know, a viral kind of values or kind of principles-based mechanism where a chain's community can adopt. I mean, are you saying Jacob one governance proposal for like the Cosmos Hub that because one governance proposal at the Cosmos Hub can't apply to all of the other chains, so it would have to be
exactly. It's not one governance proposal. I'm actually working on a template, because chains can and should adopt it to their needs, right? Like, Robo, you expressed earlier, you know, concerns around sovereignty. And yeah, hell yeah, like that's really important. Every chain should be independent. And I'll even go so far as to say that is what attracted me to writing code in Cosmos. Because, you know, the Cosmos SDK is a framework for building like your own chain and even building out like the network of infrastructure around it.
To reply to Better Future, actually, Jacob was supporting the social slashing, which was being proposed by Proof of Stake, right? So it is kind of like regulating.
No, not exactly. I mean, I'm not certain that this is the case where it applies, but I can understand, you know, exactly where he's thinking about that, but like, if you think about it this way, Gandhi, the social slashing that he described in this case, no harm has been done here. And I don't feel that there is a need to slash validators who validate like both Osmosis and Kujira. But in a situation where their actions led to harm to Osmosis users, I would be in support of that. And I view that as an assertion of sovereignty.
Yeah, so I believe this is a flaw in design. If another chain can harm Osmosis users without Osmosis having been the control of closing that channel. So we should try to design better mechanisms wherein one community can decide to not interact with other community instead of them having the power to harm other community, right?
Just so you know, if you check the Osmosis repository in the X folder where the modules are, Osmosis now has that. I think it is the only chain in Cosmos that has a clearly demonstrated ability to defend itself. It's called, I think, X/IBC rate limiting. And it does consider like the exact scenario of like a flood. And by the way, guys, that's the potentially hostile piece of Kujira, okay, is this ability to mint a vast amount of coin and, you know, push it out.
Yeah, right now the liquidity is barely in hundreds of thousands. So I don't think that is a risk. But instead of going on Twitter, like saying that do this or do that, do social slashing, why don't we propose a governance proposal and say that, okay, we should use that X/ mechanism and just close this channel. That is a much better solution instead of going on Twitter, shouting on and creating a, like this is having a negative effect on the ecosystem as well, right? People from the outside are seeing that, okay, Cosmos people are always fighting among themselves. Why should we go and build there? If we go and build there, they are going to be so negative to us as well. So this is actually bringing negative aspects to the ecosystem, right?
Yeah, I agree, Gonzi. We want to have a social culture where we, you know, where we interact like gentlemen. And So far, yeah, the kind of hot discussions around technicals and standards have caused us to sometimes not always have the best, you know, perception by outsiders looking in. I mean, people at Google and BlackRock and other places are watching. You know, are they going to come and join and help us build? You know, we have the chance. And I agree with Jacob, we only have one chance to get this right. So these kinds of conversations are incredibly important. What I'm hearing, Gonzi, from your comments, like you don't want this to be centrally regulated, right? I don't understand fully your kind of argument about social slashing. So maybe you could say a few more words about, you know, why you're bearish there. But generally, it seems the way forward is each chain voluntarily by its own people in its own community with its own constitution will have to kind of opt into, you know, this set of values or you know, this set of kind of codes around kind of connecting or not connecting with others, depending on if they're also going to be, you know, open source and adopting the same codes. And then it becomes this voluntary, you know, interdependent mesh that grows like a mycelial fungus. And if we have the right values so that we don't have these counterparties.
Bro, what the fuck are you talking about, man? They're talking about it. They're talking about an L1. Like giga shit. And I don't even know what come by are. Jacob, listen, I'm so glad you brought your man Gonzi up. Like the first fucking guest. The first person to come up here and like challenge you or like ask pertinent questions. Yeah, Gonzi. Yeah, man. You know. We've been having these conversations for a while. Jacob. Like V likes to say, yeah, you wanna stand around the fire singing Kumbaya, or do you wanna get down like proper shit? I mean, at what conversation? I'm listening to you, man. Dude, I'm sorry, like, yeah, just fucking, you're on a wavelength that I can't compute. Like, I wanna know, Kujira have got pride. Like, dude, they've got code. Do people want the code? Jacob, that question's for you. They've got proprietary code.
I mean, have you seen what that code does? I mean, why would
let's have a real fucking adult conversation, because there's many clever people in the room and there's a few things I'd like to say, right? Kujira is saying they have proprietary code, right? There's other fucking projects. There's a lot of projects that are closed source that are not getting any fucking like shit. Kujira are trying to move to the Senate. I had Jacob after you left last night, and I'm really grateful that you came in, dude. I really appreciate it, Jacob. But your man came in afterwards from Kujira, right? He gave us an hour of 20 minutes and he bared his soul and he tried to lay it on the line. And I think there's a lot of people that is missing what's going on here. Now, Jacob, I need to ask you about, I mean, if you want to talk about it, you've got previous communication with Kujira, right? You went dead on them. Apparently, I don't know. You can highlight that, right? Like, dude, you're talking about like the ability to open source versus the feasibility to open source. I mean, these clowns you're bringing up as your fucking patsy speakers. Like, dude, I'm listening. And I'm like, Jacob, come on. If you're gonna have this conversation in public with this many guests, don't beat around the fucking bush. Like, let's get down to the like nitty.
I'm around the bush. It's 100% progress, and I'm proving it.
Dude, you got people shitting. Dude, you got Jim Yang shitting all over validators, right? People who are trying to fucking do their best and make a living.
I don't blame Jim for blaming the validators.
You brought Gandhi up, though. He's the first one. Gandhi's the first one to challenge you. And I'm coming off the bat of Gandhi because he's a good fucking fella and I've spoken him a lot. Jacob,
I don't even think Gandhi challenged me.
Well, Jacob, I'll tell you what the fucking crack is in the community, shall I? If you really want to know it, right? Apparently, Kujira have got proprietary code. Aye? You lot know, and you know who I'm talking about when I say you lot, right? Aye? Sonny knows. Aye? What have we had lately? Right, we've had a fucking buggy UI, right? That's the greatest thing we've had lately. We can see kids shipping for fucking days. And if you're going to come up in these spaces, well, no, then we're going to have this.
Do it properly, like a man. I can't confirm any of this because it's closed source. They claim a lot, Robo. And what I can confirm is that there are five addresses in the current contract state to the USK controller that can mint unlimited USK.
Where's going to jump USK? Where's the market? Where's the market? Where's the liquidity for USK? This is, I mean, Jacob, I'm at the point, dude. I fucking love you, right? Like a brother. I'm just getting to the point now where I can't fucking take this anymore. Like, it's getting to the point where it's ridiculous. And if anyone's going to, like, please, stop me if I'm wrong.
I don't understand what is ridiculous about that.
Robo, I know it must be really frustrating to be working so hard with a team to build a great project. You guys have done an awesome job with Kujira.
Dude, you're a fucking pleb, you. Dude, I'm not being funny. I've never even heard of you. Shut the fuck up, man. I'm talking to the boss. Jacob, listen.
Robo. Hey. I was going to ask you a question. I'm trying to help you guys find a path. If you want, I can just step up. Go ahead. Talk to the boss.
The path of enlightenment, you patsy, man. Shut the fuck up. Right now,
it's not productive. And we got to figure out a path as a community, or we're not going to create the value that we have.
Yeah, man. You're a pipe dream merchant. You want to fuck. Jacob, put this cunt down as a fucking listener, will you? He's a right pipe dream merchant.
Good is great. Dude,
Robo,
I'm going to step down because you've become unproductive in your speech, and it's gone beyond a place that's constructive. So I'm a big fan of Kuji, and I'm a big fan of Cosmos. I hope we can all work this out and find a path. Look forward to meeting you sometime, man. I'll step down now, Jacob.
All right, man. I suppose so, but all right. Robo, I mean, I think you've got the floor now, but I mean, I don't. I'm not gonna. I found really serious issues. Well, Robo's down too. I don't know, Timmy, come on up.
Hello. I'll stay up. I won't go down.
Cool. Do you have any comments on this, Timmy?
To be honest, I only popped in maybe like 15 minutes ago. I know generally what we're talking about, but I don't think I've heard enough of the details to comment. I would be fine with what Kujira is doing right now if they set hard dates on when they were going to open source. And then should they miss those dates or push the goalposts, that's when you start, like, that's when it's a red flag. But I guess it's like maybe a yellow flag that it's been sort of indefinite. That's where I'm at, where they're like, oh, we'll open source it at some point. I know last night when we were chatting, Jacob, or whenever that was, you mentioned like the way Injective's going about it, where they have a pretty structured plan in place that can be like tracked and they can be held accountable for. I personally feel if Kujira just had something like that, would that make you feel better, Jacob? If they put
I actually have to say that at this point, no. And the reason no at this point is that there are already demonstrated security issues, and I'm not going to trust that chain. You know, like, and I don't know, you know, okay, we can like make moves to shut down the channel between Osmo and Kujira, but you know, like, that's not even my preference either. I just think it's been quite highly unreasonable the way that members of the Kujira team and community have, like, I wouldn't look at their code even if they offered it to me, because they said I was going to steal it for Osmosis. This is fantasy land, and I don't want to partake. And yes, it was, you know, team members and validators saying that. I have been threatened. And this is not a chain community that should be launching closed source products. I mean, what was found looked very suspicious.
Can you elaborate?
Okay, so I can. Basically, the finding is like this. So contract 11 on Kujira, it's the USK controller contract. And that contract, it has an owner, right? That's step one. When it's uploaded, then there's an admin. Okay, now here's where it gets a little funny. The admin can assign permitted addresses, and there are five of those permitted addresses currently, and those permitted addresses, they can mint USK without collateralizing it. And that is bad. And furthermore, I'm being vilified by members of the Kujira team, community, and validator set for saying this. Now, I want to say that actually I checked with numerous Cosmos chain teams on the safest way to disclose this. But you see, guys, the way that this was is that the security risk was the team itself. And so talk with everybody. And 100% said, no, just got to publish it. And the result of that is threats, all kind of crazy abuse on Twitter. People told me to shut up. I got validators angry at me for reporting security findings. And this, I believe this is nuts. Furthermore, because the contract is closed source, let me tell you more, a little tiny bit more about the finding, okay? The Kujira validator set blindly, without knowing what was in the contract, voted yes to run the contract. So you can go to MintScan. You can look at the yes voters on Kujira, Proposal 35. They voted in a contract that allowed unlimited minting of USK. And they couldn't read it because it's closed source.
Okay, so how do you, if it's closed source and no one can look at it, how are you able to have looked at it, it sounds like? And like, you know that it has this in it.
It's more than, it's much more than, well, I didn't look at it.
I think I might just be missing something here.
No, let me explain to you the technique that was used. Okay. So downloaded the contract from the Kujira mainnet. Okay. Because you can grab the compiled contract bytecode. Okay. From any RPC. All right. So grabbed the contract from there, put the contract on a testnet that has the governance voting period set to just seconds, okay? Start the testnet, instantiate five different accounts, one for a validator, one for a owner, one for admin, and then three others. It's not important the exact accounts. Point is, yeah, you can mint unlimited USK, and if you check the state of the USK controller contract on Kujira in the present, right now, you will find that five addresses are permitted. And permitted means, yeah, you can mint whatever you'd like. You don't need to collateralize it. And this breaks every tenant, everything that Kujira says it's about, you know, real yield, over collateralization, safety, it all goes out the window. And the response from the team, even from some of the validators, has been, well, you just trust it. You know, like, they're not going to screw it over. That doesn't work. That's not safe.
Yeah, we'll go ahead. Do you have any questions?
Hey, I just wanted to add that Kujira made, like, the interfaces public, but I mean, the fact of the matter is, because it's closed source, we can't verify that that interface is the only interface that can be accepted. They might have a backdoor that is not revealed somewhere, or, you know, due to the nature of how contracts work on CosmWasm and the practices around it, contracts actually get updated much more frequently than they get audited. So I think that there's a bunch of security issues around not just like the fact that we can't see the source, but the security practices around it. Even when people are doing an audit, there's just so many degrees of freedom that you need to check, whether it's importing like untrusted code from a crate that's not audited, or like modifying a build script that injects some like backdoor code at the end. There are just a bunch of issues with, like, even when we do have the source code, it's very hard to verify. So there's that. But so there's an argument that it doesn't necessarily have to be open source to be verifiable. And I do agree that, you know, it's possible, because at the end of the day, the only source of truth is the bytecode itself. There's just not enough stuff or tools or that we can use to check, you know, assertions at the bytecode level.
Yeah. That's exactly it. And I think personally that the most dangerous thing that's happening here is seeing Cosmos validators promoting to the community that, like, this can be okay, even in the face of the reality that, like, there are five addresses right now that can mint an unlimited amount of USK. And guys, this is just one of the contracts. Okay. Another one of these contracts stores the collateral for USK. That is a whole bunch of atoms. Those are perfectly liquid. And, you know, really was only the team that had this access. And that's worrisome. And then if you really want over collateralized, one would think that minting would be strictly tied to putting in collateral.
Jacob, how is this different? How is this? Isn't this similar to the SIF chain situation wherein they have the admin wallets?
Yes, it is very similar to the SIF chain situation.
So you guys had a validator on SIF chain, right? So
yeah.
So you should be criticized similar to the Kujira validators as well. Why not?
Well, we left. You criticized for when we were there, sure, but we left for that reason. And we left writing a 6-page set of recommendations for the SIF team. So I'm not real sure why you'd be talking about myself instead of the validators who are still there. That would seem to be shifting the topic.
You see, the way I see it, Cosmos is defined as a network of millions of interconnected blockchains, right? And in a free market, if we are to have a million of blockchains, most of them will be rug pulls or scams. Many of them will be closed source as well. So I don't believe we can go on checking each and every chain, or we can go on auditing each and every chain. So holding validators responsible or suggesting socially slashing them for choosing a chain, I don't think this should be acceptable in a decentralized economy. If we were to have a million
I want to interject here, okay? Because that is not the present state of Cosmos. The present state of Cosmos is fewer than 100 chains. And I do not believe that we will ever reach a state of having a million chains if most are rug pulls or scams. Because that million chains is not going to provide value if most of them are basically garbage. So first of all, I want to say that I do see a future where there's potentially millions of chains. But in that future, I see most of those chains actually providing utilities. Think like Unix pipes. Think like if they were to be a rug pull, then critical services would go down. And that is, you know, I guess it's a different vision than having millions of the current style of layer one. I don't think that we're going to end up in a place where we ever have millions of the current style of layer one, because the social coordination is expensive in terms of time. And I think that the successful chains in the current block of layer ones are going to be those that build for resilience and build out their communities and actually do take the time to do things like check counterparties. I want to say that I don't believe in the pessimistic future that you just expressed, because I think that after some number of rug pulls, you know, people would inevitably lose interest. And actually, that is the common point between my and Jim Yang's concerns. He and I actually define, like, what's suspicious in a chain somewhat differently. He's really concerned. I'll give you an example, Gonzi, about like territory. Okay. We recently began to validate territory, and I'll actually tell you why. Jim was talking on Twitter about how like territory is suspicious, right? Well, I was able to evaluate the code, right? And I did. I saw absolutely nothing wrong with it. And so I jumped straight into it. And like, you know, I pinged the team a little bit beforehand. It's one of our newer team members running that chain. But I guess my point is that I don't want you to think that I'm like super socially slash heavy. I suspect that there are going to be places where that's appropriate, or even it just makes sense as a threat. Like, I think that, okay, if you look on the Osmosis Commonwealth, you will see that Sunny talked about social slashing in the case of really nasty MEV practices, and I tend to agree with them. As I mentioned before, though, in the Kujira case, right, does it make sense to socially slash? Probably not, unless there were like a hell of a lot more to happen than what has already happened, and like there would need to be impact. But do I think that like voting yes on Proposal 35 on Kujira is very irresponsible? Yeah, I do. I don't think that validators should vote on you know, code instantiation blindly, if for no other reason than like their own liability, which Ganzi say no is ultimately the reason that Notional left SifChain.
I see what your point is, and actually I'm in the middle ground, right? I believe in free markets, and I feel like we should give the freedom of choice to people. If they want to support even closed source code, they should have the choice. If we as a, let's say, as a Cosmos community,
I want to interrupt for one second and say that, I mean, this is something I feel like I'm kind of being mischaracterized on. Chains can totally do closed source, but you know, if they want to do that, I totally can discuss the risks of that. And I just wanted to comment that. Please continue. Sorry.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And if as a community, as a Cosmos Hub community or an Osmosis community, we want to say that, okay, we will not be connecting to any closed source chains. So we should, instead of going on Twitter and making these posts, we should go on governance and make a post regarding that, make a constitution wherein it says that Osmosis will never connect through IBC to any closed source chain, right? Make such proposal and have such mechanisms inside the IBC wherein you can have a governance proposal wherein you can choose to close the channel between a chain which you feel like is closed source or is threatening the ecosystem?
Well, yeah, because it's not, I mean, we could take it broader than closed source is threatening the ecosystem. It's more like we worked for years to make things verifiable. And I do not want unverifiable systems. I do not think that it is appropriate for a chain team to ask validators to vote on a contract they can't read. They don't even know what it's going to do. And I mean, look at this case, guys. Like that proposal 35 on Kuchira was approved, and it allowed the team to permit addresses to mint. And like another serious question I have about that is, why is there an exposed mint function? Why is that publicly exposed if it is supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to be a strictly over-collateralized stablecoin, right? So why is there a mint function that doesn't require collateral? Why is that there? Well, I'll never know until code is released, but in the meantime, I am going to share my findings. And, you know, I like runaway mint situations, guys. That is exactly what happened with the UST/Luna thing last year. That is precisely the thing. And I'm not interested in seeing anything like that occur again.
So is there a due process to share this information, or is everyone like incentivized to go on making like threats on Twitter or something? Because you are also getting threats on Twitter, right? We are also getting backslash, and this is not good for your Notional or your business, right? No, if someone else goes and makes threat on Twitter, not you. So is there a proper way to disclose this information or not?
Well, if you're talking about to Kujira's team, the answer is a hard no, because the threat was Kujira's team.
But we do give sovereignty to any chains, right? And if we are giving them sovereignty, they can do whatever they want.
I'm not trying to take away Kujira's sovereignty, though. I don't know why you would even suggest that.
Why are you opposing their prop 35 or 37 and it being passing? Why does it matter to you?
Well, because colleagues of mine blindly voted in a very dangerous contract. And I'm concerned that, you know, that'll be their conduct on other chains in the future.
But, and maybe this isn't a good argument, is that not their sovereign, them, you know, acting on their sovereignty to make that choice?
Like, I mean, you're correct, right? And they should make those choices. But like, and I'm not trying to take that away. They can do that, and you know,
but it does kind of seem like you're trying to take that away, though.
Actions have consequences.
Jacob, you're not able to say they can do what they want at the same time as spending the past multiple weeks of your life like harping on this as much as you have. It's one or the other.
Well, no, I mean, I certainly they can do what they want to, because look, I can't stop them.
You're trying your darndest.
What I'm trying to do is ensure security.
Yeah, they can do what they want, and Jacob can do what he wants, and well, users should also do what they want in terms of whether they trust this thing or, you know, trust Jacob's warnings. So I don't think the rules of...
And Jacob, I know your intents behind it, so I'm kind of playing devil's advocate. I know it's because you care about the security of all of Cosmos, but it is just... People who are not as like filled in on this, like, that's confusing to hear. Like, you saying, oh, like, they can totally do what they want. I respect their sovereignty. But also, I've been hosting a space for the past couple hours trying to, you know. I get it. I get it. Because the security is important. And the interesting thing about Cosmos is that if this was a different, like, ecosystem or setup, Jacob could probably fully embrace the they do what they want, they stay over there, I'm not going to validate that chain. But I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jacob, sort of the unique part to Cosmos is nothing can be contained. You're worried about USK getting into the rest of the ecosystem onto other chains, whereas, you know, if it was sort of just its own walled off thing, you'd probably care less. Is that correct to say?
Well, yeah. And just so you know, I've said exactly that. Like, guys, if you were not connected to the ecosystem, it wouldn't matter. And the assertion from, you know, Kujira team and validators is that, we're going to connect. The risks are, to me, from what I can see, are being ignored. There are people claiming that the issue has been addressed. It hasn't. Addressing the issue would take, you know, both code and governance.
Okay. I was just curious. Go ahead,
Tom. Let Tom speak. Tom, do you have any question? Hi, Tom. Can you hear us? Tom Dargill. He might be off. Anything else you would like to discuss, Jacob?
The Binance Osmosis chart. I just got a DM. It was weird. Anyway, I mean, I believe that false claims have been made about me here. I believe that I know that I've been threatened by Kujira's community members, and Kujira team doesn't seem to have a problem with that. I don't know. The security situation seems pretty cut and dry. Tom, I see you're reconnecting or something, so I'll give you a second to speak your mind. Jimmy, you just come on and spew noise, so I'm not going to bring Jimmy the Otter up. And does anybody else have anything that they want to discuss here? And Gonzi, a question for you, which is like, do you understand my position here?
Yeah, I understand your position very well. And actually, I was taking on the open source side the other day when someone from Kujira development team was in the robo space. So actually, I wanted to balance the equation, right? You don't see the other side here. And on that space, you didn't hear the open source side. So both sides have their claim, but I feel like as an ecosystem, we need to follow at least some guidelines as to how we should conduct ourselves.
Well, I like that idea, Gonzi. If you're talking about just like people talking to people, yeah, I definitely agree with you. One thing I want to say though, I don't think that I've conducted myself poorly here. Before releasing this information, I checked with numerous teams, and I need everybody to keep in mind the threat model on this was the Kujira team. And, they were the ones, how do I put this? Like, it really didn't look good. And I think Timmy, you'd asked like, so what if they, put out a timeline? I just want to make clear that no. That's actually not going to satisfy me given what's occurred. In most cases, Timmy, yeah, I would. And then just to clear up, like, I guess a bunch of people were like upset about Jim's comments about slashing and thought I was in support. The answer is no, not here, but it absolutely, like, this situation is a good illustration of why that may be needed. And I'll maybe just throw in that it's interesting that on Osmosis we're now discussing the great sin of Juno. And maybe as a closing thought, I'm gonna say that this is another assertion of sovereignty and independence, and it is uncomfortable, and frankly this is why we absolutely need constitutions, is to put limitations on chain governance. Tom, you're here, speak away, sir.
Hi, can you hear me? I can't hear.
Yes.
Oh, great. No, sorry, I've been having problems with my microphone. So Jacob, I think from my perspective, how far does social slashing go, and how far does the responsibility of the validator set go? You said earlier on in the call that the responsibility on the Kujira validators to find the flaw in the contract proposed under, I think it was Prop 35. But I'd like to counter that with, there have been some bugs on Osmosis and Juno in the past, that perhaps the validator set should have caught the bugs prior to them being released to production and protecting the users. So how far in that case does social slashing go?
Oh, well, all right. Good question and fair question, given the situation. I don't think that is an appropriate case for social slashing. But I do think, Tom, that in both cases, we failed. And when I say we, I mean the overall collective validator set. I do think that it is our job to look at the code. And so I'll give you two two cases of this. Okay. One of them is when the validators took down Osmosis because Osmosis was being exploited. In that case, I'll be frank, the issue was pathetically, we should have spotted it. And, you know, all I can really say is, like, that's the fact. Now, the thing is, though, when you think about, like,
In that case.
Sure.
Harm was done to the users.
Yeah, absolutely.
Osmosis was exploited. And the users were exposed. And I was one of them, so fair enough. But in the case of Kajira, no users have been harmed so far.
Well, and that's why I would be against the use of that. No, and that's why I'd be against the use of
fair
that.
Enough, I think it's absolutely fair enough to call out a potential issue or a potential security flaw that you noticed in the code. However, I think the method of calling it out is what's causing so much alarm. That's slightly off track.
Okay. Well, the method of calling it out was carefully discussed, and like there wasn't. I don't think. You know, like that there was another way. And as soon as I did discuss it, I began to receive threats, Tom.
I didn't see any of those threats, Jacob, I'll be honest.
Oh, well, what did that tweet that said, oh, Jacob will be dealt with mean? And it's attached to this chat. I can dig up a great deal more, though, Tom. So you can believe me or not, but I was threatened.
Sorry.
It's
not that I don't believe you, Jacob. It's not that I don't believe you. I just find it hard to believe.
Well, just look under this Twitter Spaces, because I replied to this Twitter Spaces with that.
You know, let's get back to the social slashing question. How far does social slashing go? And if the validator set miss an obvious flaw, as we've seen in a previous Osmosis upgrade, are they then exposed to social slashing? I wouldn't expect so, because there's over 100 validators and it was missed by every single one.
Right. Yeah, that's so... Yeah, they should not be. But I also said clearly, I don't think that the Kajira validator set should be socially slashed in this case. Now, check this out, though. When I think about this stuff, I'm typically thinking in a broad sense, okay? And this was a very good illustration of why that may be necessary in the future. If nobody's harmed, Tom, you know, no harm, no foul. You understand?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. I hope that's clear. Because, you know, what we should be measuring on is harm.
If we're measuring on harm, then the potential flaw or security flaw in the Osmosis in the Kajira contract can be dealt with before any harm is done to the users. And I think it's been committed by the team that it would be dealt with.
Well, yes. There are also people saying it's already been dealt with, which seems very strange. And... You know, I'm glad that it will be dealt with. Also, I need to tell you that absent open source code, I will not believe that it's been dealt with. Okay, because what we've seen, okay, is frankly a very suspicious looking ability to you know, mint in an unrestricted fashion. Now, the claim around the claim around USK, right, is that it is over collateralized and very, very safe. But look, if that call exists and works, well, let me tell you, sir, it means that no, it is not strictly over collateralized, and no, it is not safe. And, you know, if there was that issue, what other issues might there be? And so I hope you kind of get my position there.
I think I do get your position. However, and I think you can also acknowledge that open and closed source is not necessarily a binary choice. Right?
Actually, it's exactly binary. You can either read the code or not.
When they agree to open the code at a set point in time, and they have a valid reason for not opening the code at this point in time, then surely that's an argument too, and therefore not binary. I think that the conversation about the conversation about open and closed source code came up a couple of weeks ago, and it was only yesterday, to my knowledge, that the question around
No, the conversation about open and closed source code, it's been here for decades. Okay.
Well, no, I get that, but I'm talking specifically around the Kajira code, and I don't speak for Team Kajira. I'm just a holder, similar to I'm a holder on Osmosis. But frankly, I was a bit upset at the way this was carried out on Twitter, rather than personal communication with the team to resolve it or get more information about
The team was the threat, buddy.
If you're suggesting the team was the threat, then surely you need to verify that before causing panic on the streets by announcing it widely on Twitter.
No, I mean, I can't control the team's actions. So like right now, as we speak, if the team chooses to, they can mint an unlimited amount of USK. And
won't that be very obvious?
Sure. But listen, man, it's the community that needed to know, not the team. The team should know.
Okay. And I don't think necessarily attacking the validators on Twitter might be the best way to get that message across.
I'm sorry, attacked the validators on Twitter? You mean because they blindly voted on a contract? Like, I don't know. I don't blind vote. You know,
you don't blind vote. However, nobody blind votes. However, you yourself missed a flaw in the Osmosis code for the upgrade. And therefore,
I had the ability to read the Osmosis upgrade code. I could, and I missed it. Okay. They did not have the ability to read that code.
Jacob, I don't know if you realize that hurts your argument, unfortunately, though. Like, it was open source and still wasn't caught. Right. So it's not like open sourcing everything is the magic cure all.
Well, you're right. Like, it is not. I'm not actually saying that it's the magic cure-all. Okay, it's not even remotely the magic cure-all.
No, but like you do kind of act as if like paid auditing companies aren't a thing for a reason, and that just because a project is open source, people are going to take a significant time out of their life to go and audit it basically and look at that code. Like you yourself, who is very tied to Osmosis, didn't even have the time, which makes sense because you do a million things, you're not an auditor, to go through that code with a fine enough toothed comb to like find that error, right? So again, I'm saying all of this still fully agreeing with you. Open source is better in many ways because it's about the ability to be able to do so. But you also have to acknowledge that just because the ability is there, it's hardly ever going to be fully utilized. And therefore, it's not necessarily like this. I mean, I know you just acknowledge it's not a magic cure-all, but it's not like that fixes everything. I mean,
well, but it does put everybody on the platform on the same page, and no one has special privileges. And, you know, frankly, like that is where I want to go. And that's where I want to see the technology develop toward. I don't want to reproduce the systems that we have currently that, you know, put some above others. And, you know, closed code, it does that by default because there can be, you know, there can be little secret hidden tricks in there. And I think that's just bad.
Yeah.
I mean, with open code, you could throw a little secret hidden trick in there, okay? You can. And people have done it, right?
I just genuinely hope that you understand pretty much everyone is, like, aligned with what you're saying in general. Like, people are on your side for the most part of open source being superior, it having its benefits, the reason that it's enforced in so many grant programs and stuff. I'm curious, like, does it feel that way to you, or do you kind of feel like everyone is like not getting it and totally against what you're saying?
Actually, just to be really specific, I think that the Kujira community is being fed an alternate narrative and distributing it.
Cosmonauts in general, not just the Kujira community, just all of us here on
Cosmos. Well, this is why I question if Kujira has anything to do with Cosmos.
I mean, it absolutely does.
Well, it uses the Cosmos software.
Yeah, right. And so that. I don't know. like it just feels odd. Like who are you to even like suggest that, right? Like you're just a person like everyone else here, part of Cosmos, part of this large, like sort of living, breathing thing that anyone can partake in and do whatever they want in.
That's the point. Like, you could suggest that as well. And I assure you, I'm going to attempt to distribute and promote the idea that, that, you know, being Cosmos is being open source is being verifiable.
I don't know if you're in a position to make that call. Like, I think the free market will decide if a core thing.
I don't think that I can dictate it.
I think you do think that to an extent, to be honest.
No. I think that I can distribute that idea, and, you know, I intend to, but. I mean, I'm under no illusion that I can,
part of your particular, I know you are against closed source in general, but is part of the thing, or obviously it's a part, with Kujira in particular, how much of your issue stems from USK being a part of it? Like the fact that a stablecoin is involved? Does that like make it infinitely more?
But let me actually, like, it's not only the stablecoin, buddy. It's the fact that...
No, but I mean, would like, you be spending
the collateral for the stablecoin is closed source.
No. I know. I'm just saying the whole stablecoin system, would you be spending this much time trying to bring attention to this issue if it was a chain that did not have any kind of stablecoin mechanics to it? Like, purely just curious.
Well, actually, let me say that it's not actually the stablecoin, okay? I'm concerned with the fact that the Kujira community and validator set are making what I believe to be very dangerous claims about security parity between open and closed code, and even promoting the idea that, oh, the closed code is somehow superior. But what the closed code actually does is it creates a group of privileged users who have, they've been blessed to be allowed to understand the system. And guys, like, please understand that, like, when you can see the code, you are also, you know, it's easier for you to have an unfair advantage over other users of the markets. And that's, I mean, the open aspect of this is very important, because you go from a flat system where everybody is equal to a system where there is a very clear group of privileged users. And furthermore, there's no pathway to learning more. In an open system, let's just say Bitcoin. Let's step out of Cosmos altogether, okay? In Bitcoin, anybody, whether they have programming experience or not, can read through the code. Now, you know, people are going to have different degrees of success understanding the code or verifying the code, but anybody can. And this is one of the things that makes Bitcoin so very powerful. I don't want to lose that for Cosmos. If we did, I mean, I genuinely believe that if we as a community do not develop standards around chains that treat users equally, then we are going to see much, much more of this. And, you know, Kujira is the issue with the unlimited mint and all this other stuff. It's going to look like a walk in the park. And I'll dial back to SifChain for 1 second, because, guys, that is exactly why we stopped validating. We stopped validating Sif because they were using these admin keys to manipulate the markets, and it created this crazy distorted picture. In the worst case scenario, it was the team purchasing the low cost by comparison Ethereum and IBC assets, and that, you know, it just didn't work. So we kind of gradually backed out of that, first by, you know, writing out our concerns and spelling out step by step, like, okay, this is how you can address this, and explaining our reasoning. 4 months ago, you know, I did that with Kujira as well. I wrote a document called Secure Proprietary Code, and it talked about how to preserve your authorship rights and ensure that you can economically benefit from the code that you have created. Because just, you know, to everybody in the audience, no, I'm not one of the people who believes that we need to eliminate private property. I do have questions about the state and its role in intellectual property, but let me make very, very clear, like if people want to keep source code closed and distribute only binaries, that is very much their right to do so. And yeah,
I think we have discussed enough and we have put both perspectives. This should be a good time to then close the space. What do you guys say?
Sounds good to me. Everybody have a nice day or night.
Thanks for joining, guys.
You as well, Jacob and Gainsey and everyone else. Or Gonzi.
See you guys.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was a discussion on open source versus closed source code on DeFi Web3, hosted by Jacob Gedikian, recorded on Saturday, December 10th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support. Now with Spark IBC enabled.
Rolling down the street in my 6-4. I never had a 6-4. A kid can wish though. I snapped the wishbone and grabbed a fistful. Chilling with the dopey, this a weed is all I wish for. I'm feeling blissful. I got a missus. My ginger always down to ride no matter what the mission. I'm singing this song. Got a couple albums out. We do alright, but it ain't really shit to write home about. Like to feed the fishbowl. Keep my stories mystical. I like my beats boom bapping rap to be lyrical. I'm feeling cynical. Craving a little ritual. Save my place in line while I try to find a mirror. I keep looking and looking and looking, but never find nothing. We've been lied to, thinking this surprise under super secret lies. Motherfuckers sneak inside, going dark now. Believe me when I say this shit is do or die. Going dark now. Believe me when I say this shit is do or die. Going dark now. Believe me when I say this shit is do or die. The trenches, trying to stay offensive. Trespassing here like this land looks expensive. Ain't no time like the present. Trying to stake a claim, just make sure your claim stays away from all these other claims. We're almost kinda running out of land here. Living in the day of the dead and it's damn weird. Same teams, y'all, we just trying to get a bite to eat. A little rest saved up, waiting for my time to sleep. Head down, middle fingers up, yo, I'm wide awake. Never hesitate to stay about 100 miles away. 7 time and space, while the wrecking ball the place. I expect you all to play, running marathons today. When the sick get sicker and the rich get richer, it might be about time to rearrange our dinner. Fix a system, the shit, it's all nixed. Waking up early, gonna suck today's.
Time to suck today's dick, that's what I'm talking about.
Going dark now, believe me when I say this shit is do or die. Going dark now, believe me when I say this shit is do or die.
Clark's a great guy, man. He's totally gonna take care of Angela, man. He's great. He's a wonderful lab partner, so it's gonna be cool. We'll keep an eye on her.
Why don't you go fuck yourself, you weird little prick?
I'm a teacher, okay? You can't talk to me like that, guy.
I'm not a student, so I can say whatever the fuck I want.
Terra Spaces.